Ezekiel, my favorite Old Testament heretic. Heretic, you say? A chosen speaker of God's word, a part of the canon of the Hebrew Bible. How can this be? Am I the heretic here? Maybe. Maybe not. Let's explore it a bit. What do we know of Adonai, of Yahweh, the God of the Hebrew Bible? Well, if we agree on nothing else, we know that this is a God of following the rules. The Deuteronomist spills much ink on rules. Rules. And more rules. And rules are indeed a needful thing. How else to keep a fractious and frightened people together in the midst of continual cultural and political assaults across the desert, in captivity, in battle? There must be rules to keep the community distinct from those who are not the chosen people and to keep them from behaving as badly as they seem inclined to do. And in this passage from the book of Ezekiel, said in the midst of the Babylonian captivity, we see how when God's people do not follow the rules, there are indeed consequences. There's conquest, diaspora, separation from the spiritual heart of Israel, the temple in Jerusalem. Okay. So far, we are following the normative role of covenantal relationship with the Lord. You mess up, you end up in a bad place. But then something happens in the midst of the misery of people who cannot even sing their own songs anymore because they're so depressed. Ezekiel dreams and prophesies. Redemption is coming. Actually, redemption has come, perhaps not in a way that was always recognizable to God's people, but that it has been there. God has been with them. If the people could not go to the temple came to them. God was abiding with them. It may have seemed just a pale shadow of the glory of those marble halls of the temple. But no matter. God was with them. Even if the people failed in abiding by the covenant, God and God's covenant abided with them. But wait, there's more. These sad souls will be back in Jerusalem soon. But this world of rules may have shifted a bit in a way that seems incongruous with the rules of before. God proclaims that the people who have been scattered abroad will be gathered together. A sidebar here. Ezekiel reminds us that the folks who didn't get dispersed, who remained in Jerusalem, have something of an attitude of those modern people who say, I've got the good stuff because I've been faithful in the right way and God loves me for it. And if you don't have the good stuff, it's clear you offended God. Those who got to stay in Jerusalem thought the temple belonged to them. Possession is 9/10 of the law, right? And the others, well, tough luck for them. They deserve their fate. And here's where that strange and wonderful and slightly heretical glance of Ezekiel comes into play. The words he brings from God are these. Never mind about that. God says, yes, we're going to clean up the messes you folks left, but this isn't about the temple. I'm going to set up shop nearby, but no longer in it. Take that, you pompous, self-righteous freaks in Jerusalem. And we're going to repair not the temple, but our hearts. I could tell, once again, that my husband was the son of a surgeon when he we were reflecting on this passage together, and he said, okay, what would my father, the surgeon, call it? It's a cardiolithectomy. I said, okay. Stone out of the heart. Okay, I get it. I get it. And people get it too. For what seems like the first time in a long time, this Creator God starts with the heart instead of the rules. He starts with the heart first. I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove from it all its detestable things and all its abominations. I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may follow my statutes and keep my ordinances and obey them. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. The work of the heart precedes the work of the rules. Both are needed, but the sequence matters. We know that. If the sole focus of our common lives together is following rules, then we become diminished, parsing out every jot and tittle. If the sole focus of our common lives together is just warm and fuzzy feelings, we become undisciplined and unclear about our purpose as God's people. We need both. But again, the sequence matters. When relationships are broken, the various sides in the story are judging each other, and they're judging themselves. It's the human condition, isn't it? Trying to prove we are in the right and others are not. Trying to prove that we have God's favor while others are lower in the pecking order. When we work hard at the beautiful work of reimagining relationships, when the first things we have to do is put aside the rules that divide us and fall in love with each other again. How we live into that love does require that we figure out some operating principles, some rules of the road, but unless we enter into a rule of life starting with the rule of love, because love is what God does with us, to us, in us, first and fiercely. Unless we start with the rule of love, the rules will continue to divide us. This is why a slightly heretical apocalyptic prophet is the perfect voice for what we are trying to do here, years after the signing of that wonderful call to commission document. It has to do with the very nature of apocalyptic literature. Odd and strange words from a fever dream, challenging and prodding and awakening people to some new and unfamiliar understanding of what God is doing. What is God doing here? Ezekiel, speaking for God, strips down the legalities to what is most important. Three things. God is with you. God will return you to a place and state of conjoined spiritual nourishment. There will be a new relationship between God and God's people. And how does this happen? Cardiolithectomy. God removes hearts of stone and replaces them with hearts of flesh, drawing them into sweet embrace. Those hearts beat sometimes in unison and sometimes in complementary rhythms. It's the nature of relationship, isn't it? The disparate parts of God's people drawn back together. Later then, some guidance as to how the relationship will work. Rules to be together as righteous children of God. But that guidance doesn't come until the relationship is rebuilt. With love, relationship before rules. If we do nothing else in our time together, we must fall in love with each other through the shared love of our sovereign and loving Creator. The other stuff, rules and such, I won't call them a diaphora. That's above my pay grade. But it seems to this occasionally heretical preacher that unless the rules serve the love and the relationship rather than the other way around, we will be stuck in Babylon, and that's nowhere for God's people to be. No more hearts of stone. No more rules that divide love. God's love. Our love. Nothing more and nothing less.